session number 13201, reel 1.
Mr. Price, reel 1. Whereabouts were you born, please?
In Reading, Berkshire.
Which year was that?
1916.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a clerical officer. Do you want to know where? Or?
No, that's sufficient, I think. Did you go to school in Reading?
Yes.
How old were you when you left the school?
15.
Did you get a job then?
Yes, immediately. At the Reading Gas Company, as it was then.
In a clerical capacity?
Yes.
Oh. What were you doing when war was declared?
I was in that same job, but I had then applied for a post in the Borough Surveyors Department in Reading Corporation. And at that stage, I had just prior to that, I had applied to, with a colleague, to join the RAFER. We both arranged to go one evening to enrol, but I was the only one that went. So I went on my own. Anyway, I was quite pleased that I had done.
Did the others get cold feet?
That I wouldn't like to remark upon, possibly.
What attracted you to going into the RAF?
I think it was the flying side and being able to fly at somebody else's expense.
Was it easy to get into the RAFER?
Well, you had to take certain tests, etc. There's no doubt you've already experienced from other interviews.
What kind of tests?
A variety of ability, educational, medical, etc.
But had you, when you applied, had you anticipated that war was coming?
Well, possibly it was on the cards because it was 6 months before the war was declared. It was in March 39.
You say you wanted to fly, but did you want to fly and fight?
I don't know that at that particular time that it had entered my head.
So when Chamberlain made his declaration that we were at war with Germany, how did you react to that?
Well, there was a whole crowd of colleagues, and we were quite happy about it and took it as it came. It didn't seem to make any difference one way or another that there was no sort of fear of going into war, I don't think. I would say, as during the war, one took things day by day. As they came.
How did your RAF career then
develop? From 6 months at Woodley, I carried out my elementary training in Miles Magisters, and for then we were called up, and I thought. Personally, that was a terrific waste of time, because although we were called up, we weren't posted to any unit for some 2 or 3 months. Just hanging about. And from then onwards, we went to an ITW, initial training wing, at Bexhill, where we started to learn all about flying, which we'd already done, the elementary side of it, and from From there, we were sent to Sewell in Northamptonshire to learn to fly again on Tiger Moss. Well, that was the elementary flying training school. So really, that period of some approximately 5 to 6 months was wasted time, in my opinion. And from that point, we were sent to advanced training school at Montrose on Mars Masters, where the training was purported to, well, they had a Spitfire up there, but at the end of the course, at this stage, that half of the course were army officers. So I think they were there for army co-op. And so half of the course was RAF, half army co-op. And at that time, the RAF wanted twin engine pilots. So the course, the RAF course was split into two, and I was one selected to go on twins. Went on to Blenheims. From there, I went to sent to Silloth, where we did very little. Well, I got wings at Montrose. Sent to Silloth for a conversion course, and I think we did about 7 hours. No night flying, and then sent to a squadron. Sir Devil in Cornwall. And
what squadron were you sent to?
236.
Can you describe the squadron, what it was equipped with, and its personnel?
Blenheims. And it was Coastal Command Squadron. And near to St. Neville was a naval air base, St. Mirren. And on occasions we had to escort Swordfish, etc., which were going over to France to possibly bomb the Scharnhorst and Knysna.
What date approximately did you join the squadron? Or which month? It sounds, from what you're saying, that you must have joined the squadron possibly in the summer of 1940.
Yes, I would say so.
Sorry, I interrupted you with you talking about the kind of duties escorting the Swordfish.
Yes. But of course, they were very slow compared with us, and we had to circle to keep our speed down. Apart from that, we used to be sent out on jobs looking for the Wolf Condor, which was a prey on shipping, on convoys in the Atlantic. And at one stage, we were sent to Aldergrove in Northern Ireland to give fighter escort to convoys coming into England.
Did you ever find any Focke-Wulf condors?
No, never did. They were a fast four-engine plane, but we never did. But we did actually on one of our trips from St. Devil, going out towards a convoy. We did three of us. We did manage to shoot down a three-engine seaplane, and I couldn't, for the life of me, I couldn't tell you what it was at this stage.
A German seaplane?
Yeah. But, which presumably was indicative of a contact with Southern Ireland. Whether I should say that.
Whereabouts was this?
No. South of Ireland.
Can you describe what happened when it was shot down?
No, apart from that, no.
Was it armed?
Oh, yes, indeed.
So it resisted, did it? Did it fire back?
Well, the incident was all very, very quick, and the three of us went in turn, and it was credited to us at the finish, but more and more I can't say.
Did anybody bail out, or did
not
they
to my
down?
Knowledge? Not to my knowledge. No.
What month do you think that might have been, or which season? Summer or
let
winter?
Me say, and that would be somewhere in the region of autumn, winter 40.
So if you were unsuccessfully hunting for these condors, it must have been a rather tedious set of trails.
Yes, I must admit it was. Yes, we were sent out on various vector to patrol various vectors, and but unfortunately, I don't think the squadron ever made contact.
So presumably you didn't have radar in the plane?
No. It was just... No, that was way before radar came into being. It was merely RT, radio telegraphy. And apart from that, another thing which we were sent out to do was to escort VIPs coming in on short Sunderlands from, I couldn't be sure, but from either Africa or from America. And we were sent out to patrol a vector and do a square search to give fighter protection to them coming into Avonmouth. And we were quite successful in that.
Were you ever attacked when you had VIPs on board?
No. We didn't have VIPs on board. We merely went out to give fighter cover for the short Sunderland flying boats.
Coming back to what you were saying about the French raids, the raids on France by the Swordfish, did you do many of those?
No, we weren't called upon to do many at all. It's merely a case of giving escort, and in many cases there was cloud cover, and consequently with the different speeds of both aircraft, it was quite often that we lost sight of the aircraft that we were due to cover, give cover to.
Did any enemy fighters come up to attack?
No. Funnily enough, we were rather fortunate in that respect. Yes, actually, coming down from Silloth to the new squadron, my first operation was to make a daylight recce of the submarine base at Lorient. Anyway, we were rather inexperienced, and unfortunately, in our night takeoff, not having flown at night before in Blenheim, unfortunately, we hit two Spitfires which were based at the far end of the runway, and consequently, I could feel that the aircraft wasn't flying correctly, got through on RT, and ground control said, cancel the operation, and stooge around until daylight, and we'll make a landing. Anyway, we did, and my gunner said, don't look now, but we've only half a tail plane. Anyway, when daylight approached, the blood wagon, that's the ambulance, was stooging around the ground. Anyway, we did make a landing all right, and we were rather fortunate in as much that the underside of one of the wings was scored, and the petrol tank was actually scored, but fortunately not punctured, and the fairing on one of the wheels was bent, and part of the tailplane was missing. So that was my experience of my first experience of being on a squadron. Because of this, naturally we were very raw, having had very little experience on twins, especially night flying. All pilots that are new to the squadron were required to do some solo night flying before carrying out any more operations. But really, this stood us in very good stead, that I think that we gained a lot of experience from it eventually.
What kind of people were in the squadron? Were they very experienced or not?
The personnel in the squadron. Well, yes, naturally, the majority were seasoned pilots and navigators and gunners. But of course, there was a constant flow of new personnel coming in to the squadron, and I would say that was on the basis of some 25 to 30% of new people coming in constantly, with casualties that one had. And at St Evil, as in other aerodromes, there was constant bombing, as it was not too distant from the coast. And when we were on the ground ourselves, we were quite often flying down
into the air raid shelters.
Yes, we were constantly running down to air raid shelters and you could actually see the stick of bombs coming towards you as you were flying down. But still, that's just an aside.
Who was the squadron leader?
Oh, I'm afraid the name eludes me at the moment.
Were all the people in the squadron British, or did you have foreigners?
Mostly British. But later on, when I transferred to bow fighters, we did have quite an element of Belgians in the squadron.
Did you stay at St Evil with the squadron, or did you move about?
As I said before, we did. Transferred at one stage to Aldergrove in Ireland to cover convoys, etc. And latterly, we went to Carew Cheriton in Wales, and the enemy information must have been very, very good, because we'd only been there about 3 days and we were bombed, and quite devastatingly so. I can remember us running out of our huts and seeing the tracer bullets flying around. In fact, we were very lucky, because there we were in a hut with quite a steep bank of earth on one side, and some shots went straight through the windows of the hut, but fortunately the bank saved us.
Carew Cheriton is in Wales, is it?
Yeah.
Sounds like Devon from the kind of name.
I'll probably find it here. It's near Tenby.
Oh, in Pembrokeshire.
I think I'm right in the name.
Did you enjoy your time with the squadron, or was it
trial? Yes, no, thoroughly enjoyed a stay with the squadron. The camaraderie was excellent throughout, yes.
Were you getting any casualties in the squadron?
Yes, naturally we did. And what can I say? Yes, there were casualties, but my luck was still holding, and those of us that had come down from Silloth after the conversion course, they were still going strong as well at this stage. Yeah.
What was the next step for you in the war? Next step.
The next step during the war was the transfer to bow fighters, and there and I was a transfer to Bow Fighters, and we were then sent to Chivener, North Devon.
This is with the same squadron?
No. We were taking this conversion onto Bow Fighters, which were faster and more, quite heavily armed fighter, long-range fighter, firing forward. It had four cannons and six machine guns firing forward. And you, not like the Blenheim, which had an air gunner and navigator, we just had a navigator on the Bow Fighters. And at that stage, I recall we were, this was made by Bristol, they were made at Bristol, and on one occasion I was sent up to Manchester because Fairey Aviation were starting to produce them, and they wanted to see the actual aircraft. Well, I'd been up there for two or three days and got a recall back to base. It was a horrible day, I always remember, very foggy. We were recalled, and the ambulance came. It was the only transport that they had at the time. Ambulance came and picked us up. We went back and eventually got back to base and understood we were being posted to the Shetlands. And the same day, we arrived in Gibraltar. Rather amazing. Five of us took off. There was a CO, flight commander, and three other pilots. Two of us actually got to Gibraltar whole. One turned back because of bad weather. One landed in the Bay of Cadiz. One hit the seawall at Gibraltar. And myself, we were running out of fuel. But of course, at this stage, they didn't know the endurance of Bow Fighters too well. And there was a certain procedure in approaching Gibraltar. You had to fire off a certain sequence of very lights. And I'd run my inner tanks dry, turned over to outer, and they were showing nil as we were in sight of Gibraltar. And I thought, shall we or shan't we make it? So I fired off all the very lights that I had, and we just made it. And when we landed, the engines cut. So we were rather fortunate. And the other one that made it whole was the CO. And from there onward, we carried on to Malta, and from Malta to Egypt, Abyssinia.
Now, according to the paper you've filled out, you've said that your conversion to Bow Fighters was in April 1941.
Uh-huh.
And that you went out to the Middle East with 272 Squadron in May 41.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a new squadron for you?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Was it much different in personnel from the other one?
No. There were... I can't recollect how many of us were transferred from 236 to 272. But... No, it was I'm going to say, with a squadron anyway, it's a very close-knit... you get a very close-knit relationship throughout, officers down to the airman doing any normal duty. And
what rank did you have at the time?
At that time, I was sergeant. I was sergeant from the time I was called up. Mm-hmm.
Which did you prefer, flying the Bow Fighter or the Blenheim?
Well, the Blenheims were very, very good, but I think I enjoyed the Bow Fighter more because you had more speed and certainly very good armament, although you weren't covered with a rear gunner. But I would say that the speed helped to make up for that.
Was there any difference between them from the point of view of comfort of the acro?
No, I wouldn't think so. The bowfighter was a little bit tricky to get into. You had to get in from the underbelly. I remember you had to pull yourself up, put your feet through and get in that way, whereas you got through on the outside with a Blenheim.
From the side?
Yeah. Well, yes, you climb up on the wing, yeah. Yeah.
Over the top?
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
How big a crew did a bowfighter have?
Just a pilot and navigator. And the poor navigator had to put the... when the drums of cannon or 20 millimeter shells had to be put back into the guns, this unfortunately was his prerogative.
Who was your navigator in the bowfighter at this time?
To start with, it was a Sergeant Reg Hobbis. We went out together from England, and unfortunately, during an operation there in Egypt, he collected a bullet through the which lodged in his back when we were shot at on one occasion.
Was he paralyzed?
No, he carried on. They left it in for a long time. We have lost contact since, but as far as I'm aware, he is still fine. I don't know quite where we've lost. As I say, we've lost contact completely. And but this is a later stage in air operations in Egypt, etc. From when we went to Egypt, we went to Abaswer, as I mentioned before, and then from there, we did have some trouble with sand getting into the ports of the cannon fire and whatnot. But this was eventually overcome, and then we were sent to a dried up lake, or by the side of a lake. Edku, a place called Edku, was between Alexandria and Port Said. And we used to carry out various operations from there, quite often being sent to Malta to cover the convoys coming in, and endeavouring to track Italian fleet, and going after E-boats. But Malta was a very unsavoury place to stay for very long, and after we carried out any particular operation, we were immediately sent back to Egypt because of the daily bombing at Luka Airport, where we were stationed.
So you sometimes stayed the night in...
Oh, yes. Yeah, sometimes.
In Luka?
Yeah, yeah, 2 or 3 days, perhaps.
Depending. Did any incidents happen to you during the bombing at Malta?
No, we were rather fortunate, really. We carried out our the necessary details that we were put on. We did, the only occasion we did was to, when we did sight the Italian fleet south of Sardinia on one occasion, and... on our way back, we sighted an enemy ship, which we did have give them a few bursts of fire and carried on our way. But as they were far, we were quite away from Malta, so we didn't. There was no point in being shot down ourselves. Although they did fire to us for